On this episode, I review the D23 Sip and Stroll event at Epcot. This is episode 118 of the Main Street Magic Podcast. Welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I am your host, Jeremy Stein, and today I am joined by no one. It is just me, myself, and I doing a quick solo episode on the Sip and Stroll event that I'm actually currently attending. And if this sounds a little bit different than normal, it's because I'm in my hotel room and I'm literally just recording straight to my MacBook. So no fancy podcast equipment today, but I wanted to get this episode out on our normal Tuesday schedule. Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at mainstmagic. And if you've not done so already, and I'm hoping you have, go out and search for the Capture the Magic community on Facebook. You're going to want to ask to join. It is a very fun and informative group, so come on out. There's just two quick questions you need to answer, and we'll make sure you get approved. And don't forget to listen to the Capture the Magic podcast at ctmpodcast.com with Jared and Jamie Lee. They release new shows every Monday and Thursday, then Jared and I release a new Diz Dudes episode every Wednesday on that same feed. And here at Main Street Magic, we have new shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, so the Capture the Magic Network has you covered all week long. And as I am sitting in my hotel room, I am already excited for tomorrow morning to break out my Joffrey's coffee, which is here in the room. And if you want to bring some of that Disney magic home, go out to joffreys.com. And at checkout, use code CTM20, and you will get 20% off your entire order. And if you want to book your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or even Universal Orlando Vacation, reach out to Melissa Pilgrim with Ears of Experience. You can reach her at MPILGRIM at themouseexperts.com. It is no cost to you to use her services. She will find you the best deals, the best rates, the best packages, help you out with fast passes, with ADRs, everything that makes Disney planning so stressful. She'll take that off your plate, so we highly recommend that you use Melissa. So today is a little bit different of an episode, as I mentioned. I'm currently at Disney for a quick trip. I'm staying one night at All Star Movies, and to my surprise, when I just checked in, they offered for $5 more to go from my standard room to my preferred room. So I am currently in my refurbished room using my table that is attached to a Murphy bed for my MacBook and getting to record this episode. So I'm going to do the first part right now. I'm going to break and go to Epcot because there are some evening festivities that go along with this event as well. No idea why I'm telling you that, because with the magic of editing, you would actually have no idea. So from D23 site says, this year, to kick off the event, D23 is partnering with Walt Disney Imagineering for a special food and wine chat inside the Spaceship Earth VIP lounge. While in the Spaceship Earth VIP Lounge, guests will have the chance to taste some cast member and fan favorite items of the festival. Then each guest will receive a $25 Disney gift card to Sip and Stroll some of the delicious offerings at the Food and Wine Festival throughout both the World Showcase and Future World. Now, this is available to D23 Gold and Gold family members, and they can reserve a ticket for themselves and then one guest, and these are $130 each. I know that sounds a little bit expensive for a hard ticket event, but as I go through this, I think you're going to see that it's quite worth it. So I got there. This event was obviously at Epcot. It is on Monday, October 22nd at this point. And as you get to the park, you have between 10:15 and 10:45 to go up to a special setup table. They scan your phone. I actually had my ticket in my Apple wallet. On my phone there, and they give you your credentials, which is a nice lanyard that on the front has the Sip and Stroll logo. On the back has a full schedule of the day. And then they also give you your $25 little wristlet gift card. So you're going to be able to use this to try some food throughout the festival while there's a long break period between the morning events and then the evening events. So at 10:45, you started lining up outside of Spaceship Earth, and access to the VIP lounge is right across from the Art of Disney, and it's actually the exit as you come out of the, I think it's the Project Tomorrow section, when you're exiting Spaceship Earth, the ride. So go in and you go up one flight of steps, and there is a full, really nice. I was actually expecting to walk in and for this to look like something out of the 80s, but it looks like it had been, you know, new carpeting and paint, tables and chairs. I mean, it was actually very nice. And you're on the back side of Spaceship Earth, and there are full windows covering the entire room that look right out into, you know, you're looking at the World Showcase, you're looking at the fountain. So really cool setup. I want to say there were roughly eight to 10 people per table, and there were probably 10 to 12 tables. So somewhere around 100 to 120 guests that were able to come to this. And this sold out very, very quickly. With a lot of these D23 events, if you are a member, and my membership is a Gold Family member, I pay $99 a year. I get some goodies along the year and some publications, and then I get access to these events, some which are extra paid events, and then some stuff like some movie previews. They did a Hocus Pocus screening last weekend that you have access to at no additional charge. So we get in and go up to the lounge, and at the entry, there are two waiters, a waiter and waitress, and they've got tropical mimosas. So everybody gets to grab a tropical mimosa and then find whatever seat you would like. And as we sit down, there's already a little cardboard boat like they would serve food in at the Food and Wine Fest, filled with Rice Krispie treats, some fruit roll-ups, and little things of candy. I then noticed that there is a sushi mat in front of us, and there are three cards with recipes for candy sushi. So the candy sushi is something that they're currently offering and is really geared towards children, and they offer these seminars throughout Food and Wine. And from what they were saying, these sell out really, really quick. It's one of the hardest events to get into. And this is today was sponsored by Adventures by Disney. So they actually were providing this for us. So we started the entire event by them going through and us actually making candy sushi, which was a pretty cool process. You take like Rice Krispie treat that they've made that are real thin, and you lay a fruit roll up on top of that. You line it with some candy, you use your sushi mat, roll it up, cut it. They had little plastic knives, which do not cut very well. And then you make candy sushi. So we made two types. I only had one piece. It was very, very sweet, lots of candy. And this was 11 in the morning. I haven't even eaten at this point. So I just had one. I wrapped the rest up in some saran wrap that I will try to make it till tomorrow to take home to Rhonda and the kids. So we will see how that goes. Once we've done all this, kind of the host of it comes up and they just talk about D23 and what's on the schedule for today. And, you know, they're glad we're there and they appreciate their D23 members. And then let us know that in the next room we're going to walk through and we're going to get to try three items from Food and Wine Festival that are fan favorites, cast member favorites, some of the favorites of the chefs that help create these. And they're some, because they're fan favorite, they're some of the best selling items. And that's going to be the butternut squash ravioli, the steakhouse blend burger, and then the vegan nachos. Now, the ravioli is at the Wine and Dine Studio. The steakhouse blend burger is at Earth Eats. And then the vegan nachos are from Greece at the Greek booth. So the butternut squash ravioli, this was out of the three dishes. This is the one Ron and I actually had on our last trip. And it is absolutely outstanding. If you like butternut squash, it has that really good fall flavor. We love the butternut squash soup that is at Boma. So obviously it has those same flavors, but in a perfectly cooked ravioli pasta. And then on top, they actually sprinkle toasted pumpkin seeds. And then they have Parmesan, fresh grated Parmesan cheese. And it's got a little hint of balsamic vinegar with it as well. This is a really good dish. I highly recommend this one from Wine and Dine Studio. Next, we're going to go to the Steakhouse Blend Burger, which is from Earth Eats. And this is also where they have the Impossible Burger, which I had mentioned in the past when I had that. It had a really, really strong wasabi flavor, which I didn't care for that much. I just thought it was overpowering. Now, the Steakhouse Blend Burger is a regular burger, but it's actually blended with 25% mushroom and 75% beef. I do not like mushrooms at all. I had zero idea that there was mushroom in this. It tasted like it was all beef, but it was so soft and so tender that it was just absolutely amazing. Had a nice sauce with it. The bun is really good, a little slider bun, and it actually had a thick fried potato chip on top, which gave it a really, really good crunch. Next were the vegan nachos from Greece. And these were surprising. So it's served in a cone, like a paper cone, that you can eat right out with a fork. And this has thick-cut fried pita chips. It has a Gardein substitute meat blend. It had olives, which I personally picked out. I don't like them. A tzatziki sauce and red onion. And this is 100% vegan. And what was really cool is once we had a chance to eat all of these dishes, the executive chef of Epcot came up to speak to everybody for a little bit. And he told a story about these vegan nachos and how they were created. So 5 years ago, they were getting ready for the festival, and in July, middle of July, the menus hit the internet. And the vegan community, he said that they'd always done vegetarian dishes. They'd always had plenty of vegetarian dishes. They had never actually had anything vegan. So the vegan community gets really up in arms, and he said within a day, there was a new Facebook page called Disney Hates Vegans that had 15,000 followers. So the president of the parks at that time calls the chef and says, hey, have you seen this? We've got a real problem. And they say, you know, we're already working on this. And within 3 days, they had created four new vegan dishes. And this is where they would start to introduce vegan dishes into the festival. He said basically they were kind of sitting around and they were craving nachos. They looked at the things that they had and said, you know what, let's make nachos. He said literally there were Stacy's pita chips sitting on their desk. They had this Gardein meat replacement, ground crumbles. So they started throwing that together. And then they had to create a tzatziki sauce, which is usually made with yogurt, which of course is not vegan. So they ended up blending almonds down, mixing it with the traditional like dill, cucumber to make this vegan tzatziki sauce. And then he called out to the guys at Gardein and talked to their chefs and said, we need to figure out a way to make vegan feta cheese. And so they were able to create it. And absolutely, this has been one of their biggest hits. It was a really good dish. Another one that did not taste like it was vegan at all. So if if you love meat and you love beef and you love hamburgers and regular nachos with beef, give this a try. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And I really don't think that you'll notice a difference. Some of the other things that I thought were really interesting that he was able to share with us was that festivals now take up 263 days of the year. And they consider the Food and Wine Festival the actual lead off to the season because of the way that their fiscal calendar works. October 1st is the start of their year. So this is really, I think, as this goes through, this is kind of the kickoff to their entire season is what they're saying. They have five chefs that oversee all of the booths and obviously have a very great team underneath them. And he was talking a little bit about when a new booth comes or a new idea comes. And several years ago, they wanted a Dominican Republic and Puerto Rican booth. So they had to create the foods and the menus. So they actually, the tourism board of Puerto Rico sent up a whole bunch of people from Miami. And they sat in there. And they tried all the food and said they hated all of it. They didn't think any of it was, I guess, to their liking. They did not like this food. They left. Chef Mike and his team had to come up with new ideas. And within a week, the tourism board came back. And he said he was sent in this time. He was not in the original meeting. He went in. He went in with another one of his chefs who was Puerto Rican, spoke Spanish. And he said the whole time, you know, they're in there trying the food and they're all speaking Spanish, which he doesn't speak. And they're throwing their hands around and in the air. And finally, at the end of it, while he's sweating bullets, his chef looked at him and just said, we're all good. And they absolutely loved it. And so I just thought that was so interesting. Something else they really are trying to do is prepare as much food within the actual marketplace booths as possible. So anytime that they can have a grill, like they have at Flavors of Fire, where they're cooking the food in front of you, or they have a flat top, whatever they can cook and still be able to push out at the manner that they need, they want to prepare in the marketplace. He spoke a little bit about the Holiday Festival, International Festival of the Holidays, which is coming up. They literally have a five-day break between the end of Food and Wine Fest and the start of the International Festival of the Holidays. And he said this year will be the biggest yet. They're really finally taking a focus on food, which they haven't done in the past. In the past, the food hasn't really been the star of this festival. And so they're really, really excited about that. It's going to be full blown, he said, as far as the festival goes. And one of the new booths coming is actually a New York deli concept. And they will be making house-made pastrami and actually doing matzo ball soup, where they're making the matzo balls and everything from scratch. He said Festival of the Arts this year will be pretty close to what it was last year, but it was literally born out of art. And they were told as they created those menus that it doesn't matter what this costs, it doesn't matter what it takes, these plates need to look good. And he said they're able to do things that they've never done in the marketplaces before in all of the years that they've been doing these festivals. And Food and Wine dates back to 1996. So they're truly trying to push the envelope and make all this food a work of art. Next up, they had Imagineer John Widely, who is the associate producer for all of the festivals. Now, at this point, they asked that we put our phones and any sort of cameras away. They do not want any photos. They do not want any video of what he's going to show us. And there wasn't anything super secretive, but it was really cool because he was able to show us all the behind the scenes of what it takes to create this festival from an artistic standpoint. As somebody who does graphic design and marketing, I was absolutely fascinated by this. I thought this was so cool. They went through the style guide of creating the logo, of what colors they'll use. They showed us pictures of the installation where the people are out of the park by 11 p.m. on one night, and by 6 a.m. the next day, everything has to be installed and set up. And he showed the process of them designing every little piece that goes in. We got to see some footage of them actually building the marketplace booths, and how a lot of these are made of aluminum, but then they're painted to maybe look like wood grain or look like concrete or stone, because a lot of these booths need to be easily removed once the festival is over if they're not there for whatever the next festival is. So I thought it was really interesting to see a behind the scenes look. I'm kind of just a nerd when it comes to those types of things. I love to see what goes in. I love to see design and watch this team kind of work. So I thought that was awesome. At this point, we were going to wrap up. It was 12:45. We had been in there since 11 a.m. And they let us know that they were giving us a parting gift in case people decided not to come for the evening activities. And what it is a D23 branded picnic tote bag. And I'll have some pictures out on the Facebook group page at the Capture the Magic community. This is really cool. It opens up one side and there is a full place setting with wine glasses for two people, napkins, plates, knives, forks, everything. And then the other side is a large zipper that has an actual soft cooler in it. So I thought this was really cool. I guarantee something like that would sell for $50 in a Disney store. We already had a $25 gift card. We had a mimosa and three dishes, which at $5 each is another $20. You know, we're already close to basically hitting the cost of the $130 that we put out. And so I'm going to take a break because I'm going to head back to Epcot to use my $25 gift card. And then this evening, which I will come back and record, we get to go and have VIP seating for at the American Gardens Theater at the 6:45 p.m. Eat to the Beat concert. Tonight is Kenny G, and I'm going to watch him. If he blows me away, then I will apologize in length to Kenny G. Not really my type of music, so I don't think I'm going to enjoy it that much. I would love to have seen a different band there, but you know, it is what it is. And then after that, we get a dessert reception at the Italy Pavilion. As the sun sets, we get a variety of specialty desserts, and we get a setting to do VIP viewing of the Illuminations Reflections of Earth Nighttime Spectacular. Okay, so I am back. It is actually the next morning. I got in about 11 p.m. or so last night, so I didn't get a chance to finish recording, but just thought I'd run through my evening for you real quick. We headed back to Epcot, met up with a buddy, and we walked around a bit, and then I went back for the Kenny G seating, and I did not actually end up doing the seating, but I kind of watched from afar because it was a madhouse. This is the most crowded I've seen any concert series there. And it's still not my cup of tea, but I guess he was very, very good. He still got the long hair. He's still playing whatever wind instrument that is he plays. But people seem to absolutely love it. for the, that was the second to last show. For the last showing, people were lined up all the way down to the Italy Pavilion. So apparently Kenny G is quite popular, which must be why they had this event when he was playing. And to be honest, the average age of the people that attended this event seemed like they might enjoy some Kenny G. So once that was over, there was a little bit more time, but not much, before we had to check in for the dessert party. So I tried some other food and then headed on over and got all checked in. And the seating is right there in the Italy Pavilion. There's kind of that area that's down right by the water where all those poles and stuff are sticking out of the ground. Tons of tables set up. They had a long buffet kind of set up with all the different desserts. And these were all desserts from Food and Wine. Now, they didn't have each one labeled, but I know we did the picante cake that is chocolate, has a little bit of kick and spice to it. They had the Burzen Bourbon cheesecake, maple cheesecake, that's really good, I'd had before. So all the desserts were very good. There was about five or six total. I had a bite or two of each, and then they had waters and some tea set up. There was no alcohol or anything provided, which I think I was a little bit surprised by, and it was perfectly fine because it was already kind of late at that point. But I was just surprised because the sip and stroll of this entire event didn't have a lot of sipping. So I think I thought they would have had maybe some of the specialty drinks that are throughout the Food and Wine. And they did not have that, but it was fine. So we got to sit and we watched Illuminations, which is really a great show. I really enjoy it. I don't see it often, but you know, it's going to go away here next year, so I was glad I got to catch it. I honestly don't know if we'll catch it in the next couple of months or not. May make it a point to take the family back and let everybody see it one last time. So thanks for joining me on this kind of quick episode as I ran through this event. I think I'm actually coming down with something now today if I sound a little bit different and stuffy. So I appreciate you listening so much. And if you haven't already and you want to get your Joffrey's Coffee, it makes really good Christmas gifts as well with some of their packages. They do sell K-Cups for Keurig machines. Go out to Joffrey's Coffee or joffreys.com and use code CTM20 at checkout and save your 20%. That's all I've got. We'll see you real soon.